풍부된 단체 조직으로
예월로 무슨 것 같나요?
세상에 풍부들 양을 안 줘요.
나옴.
딱 그저 끈주고 판게 뚝딩이 풍부디 시야 인도자니 그 녀를 냄바 자고야 거라. 그래 둔 되자고 끼고.
그래.
좋아. 다 풍부디 되자기 하기 괜찮아. 그 뒤지게 돈이 녀를 냄바 민다지 그 내는지 풍부 코란 거 뭐네. 야 가서 그래.
너무 쇼지 마.
너무 깨야 돼. 그 괜찮고 자유. 풍부 코란 때네.
그래 나옴.
내년에 지금 좋았을 때. 저거 그냥 상무 찍어 오르는 거야. 그 셀 건수 간에 that's not a cell. 그 참고 싶으셔야 될 게 년龄 공부 잘하다. 누구지 방 누구 그 군중 방 맞을 거다.
에솔은
그 네가 하는 상담 거야. 패지지.
He wants to ensure that the people don't get a misunderstanding that in this kind of talk of mental processes that the Buddhist Buddhism has a sort of a an understanding of mental processes which is quite independent of biological and bodily processes.
This is not Cartesian dualism.
Okay.
Because even in the texts, the human body is referred to as a body that is appropriated.
Closely held.
Closely held. And then the closely held by attachment. And so there is a recognition that the very nature of our embodied existence is very closely tied to the way in which we will experience the world, you know, with emotions, whether it is attachment, anger, hatred, and so on. So there is an understanding that even the biological, the body that we possess will have, you know, make us or dispose us to experience these.
A possible way of paraphrasing that would be a close identification with. We have these the body itself and then these other aggregates which are all of a psychological nature, mental nature. But because we identify so closely with them, these aggregates, very much including the biological one, can actually catalyze or give rise to mental afflictions and so forth. So there is no notion of this kind of strict, reified Cartesian dualism of the soul as being absolutely autonomous from the body is the machine that is somehow, you know, quite independent. But in Buddhism, it's much more nuanced than that. There is an ongoing interplay between these two, neither one being seen as autonomous.
They're not autonomous, but is there a hierarchy?
His Holiness is referring to that earlier when he speaks of different strata of consciousness or levels of subtlety. So in terms of the kind of things that you folks will be studying, psychologists, neuroscientists, probably with just about without exception, everything you're studying would be considered from a Buddhist perspective in the gross levels. You get to a subtle level when you're fainting, and then a much subtler level actually in the dying process. And that would...
What about states induced by specific meditation practices?
So if there is a yogi, a meditator...
I mean, there is a method, systematic sort of method. The first level is the
first, you learn the ability to recognize dreams as dreams.
Lucid dreaming.
Then the milim negoliya,
Then while one is in a dream state,
in the lucid dreaming state,
one goes through the process of dissolution. It's a specific process of dissolution.
You actually dissolve the dream experience, the dreamscape. You dissolve that into the clear light nature of awareness, and that will bring you to a subtler level of consciousness. But you need to be a lucid dreamer first. That's your platform for dissolving the whole dreamscape into this more subtle realm, dimension of consciousness, out of which the dream emerges. So you take it back to its source.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two approaches. It's kind of a daytime yogic approach and a nighttime yogic approach. The daytime yogic approach would be that you bring your mind through meditative practice to set a subtle state. Did I not say that?
You said daytime.
I'm sorry, waking state. Because, of course, you'd be snoozing during the daytime. The waking state. In the waking state, one yogic approach is that you bring through samadhi type of practice, meditative practice, you withdraw your physical senses. And so they basically go dormant, they shut down, and then you bring your mind to a more subtle state of consciousness in that way. But there's another approach, which actually is a more efficacious one, and that is in the dream state, as Tutanjima said before, or translated before, you get into the lucid dream. And in the lucid dream, already your physical senses are pretty much dormant. But you have the replicas, the facsimiles of smell and sound and taste and so forth in the dreamscape. And then volitionally, voluntarily, you dissolve those into what is called the clear light of the dream state. And then, having done so, if you can actually identify that clear light of the dream state as the clear light, that is actually generally more potent, more effective than doing that during the waking state. So it can be a very effective way to get to these more subtle levels of consciousness. And so if you'd like to prepare yourself for ascertaining the clear light of death, which is a moment in which that very subtle dimension of consciousness manifests naturally, if you'd like to prepare yourself for it so that you can actually recognize it when it comes, then the explicit preparation for that would be to develop the ability of lucid dreaming and then dissolving the whole dreamscape into the clear light of sleep, recognizing that as you familiarize, we go back to this whole issue of familiarizing it, doing it again and again, getting well acquainted with this clear light of dream state. Having done so, then finally when you get to the grand finale of your life, you're dying, then you're well prepared to be able to recognize the clear light of death when it emerges, because you've already had kind of the dress rehearsal. But if you should ask the monks here how many of you have recognized the clear light of dream, the count would probably be zero.
Do you think that this can be understood at a biological level, this process of...
So we need first... an experienced yogi, a meditator.
No, but could it be understood? Can it be understood at the physical
level? That is all it was saying. That at least it will give us the opportunity to...
It's an empirical question.
Try it out.
Okay. It could be.
It's certainly a possibility. But you need to first get the subject in the lab.
Conceptually, one can at least see the logic of this. Because although we don't possess the actual experience, but conceptually one can kind of understand the logic of this, because even during the waking state,
logic or a system.
Yeah, the systematic process.
Mm.
Yeah. For example, during the waking state, most of us are familiar with what happens when you get totally focused onto something. At that point, even your breathing slows down. And especially if you focus your attention at your heart, there's a much greater degree of kind of slowing down many of the other processes, and including other sensory activities as well. So if that is the case, then one can imagine, envision at least the possibility that in the dream state, which is already a much, which is a state where the other sensory activities are, much less active anyway, there one can at least see that there could be a process that gets progressively subtler.
So is this to be understood on a continuum? So you use the example of focused attention in a kind of conventional sense. So are we to understand this on a continuum, or is there some more disjunctive transition?